Wrapping up part one. The cosmetic rises to the surface. All of the topics in part one are actually only one. You can think about a subject for a long time to the point of being possessed by it. Somehow you have a lot of ideas, but they don't seem explicitly connected. The logic linking them remains concealed from you. Yet you know deep down that all these are the same idea. Meanwhile, what Nietzsche calls Bildungsphilisters, or learned Philistines, blue collars of the thinking business, tell you that you are spread out between fields. You reply that these disciplines are artificial and arbitrary, to no avail. What Nietzsche means by Bildungsphilisters are the dogma-prone newspaper readers and opera lovers who have cosmetic exposure to culture and shallow depth. I extend the term here to the Philistine hiding in academia, who lacks an erudition out of lack of curiosity and is closely centered on his ideas. So you tell these learned Philistines that you're a limousine driver, and they leave you alone. You feel better because you don't identify with them, and thus you no longer need to be amputated to fit into the Procrustean bed of the disciplines. Finally, a little push, and you see that it was all one single problem. One evening, I found myself at a cocktail party in Munich, at the apartment of a former art historian who had more art books in its library than I thought existed. I stood drinking excellent Riesling in the spontaneously formed English-speaking corner of the apartment in the hope of getting to a state where I would be able to start speaking my brand of fake German. One of the most insightful thinkers I know, the computer entrepreneur Yossi Vardi, prompted me to summarize my idea while standing on one leg. It was not too convenient to stand on one leg after a few glasses of perfumed Riesling, so I failed in my improvisation. The next day, I experienced staircase wit. I jumped out of bed with the following idea: the cosmetic and the platonic rise naturally to the surface. This is a simple extension of the problem of knowledge. It's simply that one side of Eco's library, the one we never see, has the property of being ignored. This is also the problem of silent evidence. It's why we don't see black swans. We worry about those that happened, not those that may happen but didn't. It is why we platonify, liking known schemas and well-organized knowledge to the point of blindness to reality. It is why we fall for the problem of induction, why we confirm. It's why those who study and fare well in school have a tendency to be suckers for the ludic fallacy. And it's why we have black swans and never learn from their occurrence, because the ones that didn't happen were too abstract. Thanks to Vardi, I now belong to the club of single idea people. We love the tangible, the confirmation, the palpable, the real, the visible, the concrete, the known, the seen, the vivid, the visual, the social, the embedded, the emotionally laden, the salient, the stereotypical, the moving, the theatrical, the romanced, the cosmetic, the official, the scholarly sounding verbiage, bullshit, the pompous Gaussian economist, the mathematicized crap, the pomp, the Académie Française, Harvard Business School, the Nobel Prize, dark business suits with white shirts and Ferragamo ties, the moving discourse, and the lurid. Most of all, we favor the narrated. Alas, we are not manufactured in our current edition of the human race to understand abstract matters. We need context. Randomness and uncertainty are abstractions. We respect what has happened, ignoring what could have happened. In other words, we are naturally shallow and superficial, and we don't know it. This is not a psychological problem. It comes from the main property of information. The dark side of the moon is harder to see. Beaming light on it costs energy. In the same way, beaming light on the unseen is costly in both computational and mental effort.